Great, I'll kick off. It's Chris's round. It may be helpful for everybody to go around the room so the public understands who's here. I'm with the Chazy Companies. I'm the project manager for the DRI initiatives.
Rob Perry, Superintendent of Public Works. Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, sorry, I'm your guy on mute, so.
Okay.
You want to introduce yourself, let people know who you are?
Sure, Cheryl Roberts, Corporation Counsel for the City of Hudson.
Kamal Johnson, Mayor of the City of Hudson.
Heather Campbell, City Treasurer.
Michael Shimidis, mayoral aide, and I just also wanted to say, Cheryl, since you can't see everybody, this is a public meeting. Just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Tom DiPietro, Common Council President.
And Peter Bujano, Commissioner of Public Works.
Great. This is the first meeting of 2020. I know, Michael or Mary, does this need to be read? Record, this is already been.
I think it's just pretty bad. I guess just so the public knows is that we have a document that sort of outlines the membership of the committee, which is the people here plus Cheryl on the phone.
Terrific.
And then it also states that we're expecting that that you and the Chazen Company will sort of be leading, creating the agendas. And
great. It can happen in any, however, is the most efficient for you all that are participating. So. We thought at this first meeting, given new membership, that we would kind of review what's occurred in the last year. And so I handed out an agenda that just has four or five bullets that we'll speak to. And then the second sheet is a summary of the committees, the conferences, and some key milestones. And I'm going to go through those at some level of detail so everybody has a common understanding of where we've been and what we've accomplished. And under the year in review, I'm just going to talk about just repeat some of this stuff we'll be familiar with the past members, but the process, the DRI process, the projects, the funding amounts, the status of some of those funding sources, the DOS master agreement, and then some of the process that we went through. And so you can refer either the agenda or our meeting summary. As I've been talking to Michael, I have a binder, and it wasn't ready yet to reproduce. We're going to do an annual report, and so a lot of what I'm going to speak to today will be summarized in an annual report. We'll share that. That can be posted on the website. That will be shared with the funding organizations. DOS is always looking for a quarterly report and an annual report, accomplishments, activities, etc. We were engaged end of 2018, and started working earnest in 2019, and made introductions in the beginning of the year in February. And it's a learning process for us all. I mean, there's several folks who were part of the DRI process which was initiated once the city received an award notice. That received DRI funds. There was a consultant that was engaged, Stantec and a series of sub-consultants ran a series of meetings, public engagement exercises, and the accumulation of that was what they called a strategic investment plan. And a strategic investment plan was a pretty significant number of projects that the city was seeking funding for that would be funded by the DRI funding sources. And what happened from there is the DRI strategic investment plan went into New York State, and the state actually selected the key projects that were going to be funded. And they selected five public projects that we're mostly involved with, as well as a series of private projects. And they actually designated funding amounts. And that was consistent with what was requested, but not all projects that were in the strategic investment plan were selected for investment. And so when we picked that process up in February, we were tasked with, well, what are those projects? What are the actual funding sources? And so there was a fair amount of discovery, and four of the five projects are funded by the New York State Department of State. The last project is actually funded by Empire State Development. And the five projects were the Promenade Hill improvements, now a project that we collectively call the Bridge District, but that was also the Cross Street staircase improvements. And so those two projects together, we're calling the Bridge District improvements. The Fugar Fishing Village and the Dunn Warehouse. And I didn't share it with you, but I have a listing of the funding sources. My apologies. It's right here, right here. Approximately $4.5 million for those projects. A series of private projects were funded. We haven't yet been engaged with those, but we are. When we were engaged, we were engaged to help with project management, grant administration, managing the public component of this process, and keeping track of the private components. And so the Bridge Street project was funded at $3.9 million. Promenade Hill was funded at $1.1 million. Cross Street was funded at $250,000, and I'll share these details in the annual report with you. The Fishing Village was approximately $150,000, and the Dunn Warehouse was $1 million. Big difference in zeros there. $1 million. What we learned early on in the process, there wasn't a lot of detail behind what each of those projects were. That was very conceptual. And so when we went to go looking for, well, what's going to be included in the Bridge District streetscape improvements, it was basically a page of information and some cost estimates, and not like a robust concept plan and detailed cost estimate. So that was similar in each instance. You know, each of the projects did not have a tremendous amount of detail. The overall intent, concept, communication with the DRI committee during these early months helped us understand that, what the details were. We also learned about the various funding sources. It wasn't clear for any of the DRI communities, where is this money coming from? Is the state just going to give this to us? The four projects, as I mentioned, were funded by the Department of State through a master aid agreement. And that master aid agreement has not yet been executed, and we'll come back to that. We engaged with StanTech, and StanTech and Department of State communications with Empire State Development in these first months, as you see in our inventory of meetings, to understand the scope of each project. We also, DOS had a whole inventory of information that was collected through a DRI process, which was helpful in understanding what transpired. All this information that we've collected is on the city's share file website. So it's all accessible to anybody. We can provide that link to you. So if you're interested in some level of detail about all this information, we can provide that to you. That was provided to the committee members in the spring of last year. So what we did is we met with the committee to understand, but we can't undertake all these projects all at once. And we said, so we met with the committee and reviewed each of these, try to understand, you know, what's going on. And we went through a prioritization exercise. And at the end of the day, the committee reached a consensus and said, hey, we want to move forward with Promenade Hill first. It's highly visible. It is it's a manageable in scale. We want to show some early success, some early progress, and I'm pointing to Tom and Rob or Heather. Feel free to chime in and clarify anything I'm saying. I don't want to mischaracterize anything that the committee said, but that came to the top pretty quickly. And then the Bridge District. So what we looked at is the Bridge District is a series of streetscape improvements on bridge and adjacent streets designed to improve pedestrian safety to like the rail station down there. There's some wide street crossings. There's need for aesthetic improvements. And we asked the question, well, why are we separating that from the cross street staircase improvements? The consultant that might design those improvements probably has the same skill set, so why cut it in two? And so we suggested that you package them. And that was agreed upon. The Fishing Village probably had a lot more history than some of the other ones because of the interest in the Fishing Village. And so we put that at number three and the Dunn Warehouse at number four. What we also learned at this time was Dunn Warehouse had funds from Empire State from a previous grant application. So what we learned was Dunn Warehouse had initially requested $500,000 through the Restore New York program in 2017 for stabilization of the warehouse. The city had, and prior to that, city had engaged a consultant. The consultant went through, and this is now probably 6-7 years ago, had gone through and looked at, well, how is, you know, what is the structural integrity? What's the, you know, how is the roof doing? What are the walls? And came up with an evaluation. And the city had secured that funds, but it hadn't been advanced. That work had not yet been advanced. So we learned that. And that the Dunn Warehouse, from the DRI standpoint, had funds that were from Empire State Development. And so who we're dealing with from a funding source is the Department of State, and their communications to the committee is Jamie Ethier. Is the project representative, and he's been with the state for a while. He understands the process. He's been a pretty good communicator. He indicated that the DOS is flexible. While we have these budget amounts for the four projects, the state realized, well, those were concept cost estimates, and that projects evolve. The more detail you have, generally costs rise over time. And so they gave us the message that said, those funds, while they're earmarked, as I read them from the spreadsheet, we're willing to work with you to identify how we ultimately spend those dollars.
And just to clarify, not that there's flexibility in getting more dollars, there's just flexibility.
Very good point.
If project A is scheduled, you know, was budgeted for $1 million and project B was scheduled for $500,000, if this comes in $900,000, we could potentially spend $600,000 on the other one.
Really good point, Heather. With the DOS money and the ESD money, there are MWBE requirements that the city is obligated to, and the city passes that obligation on to its consultants. And so when we go and RFP consultant services, generally each of these projects, what we're asking for from a consultant is, hey, we want you to just, you know, refine and design the improvement, manage and oversee the construction, and this would fund both the design and construction. So Bridge Street, the idea is that a consultant's going to come in, actually work with you to design those facility improvements, produce construction documents, go through the construction bid phase and the administration services. And so that MWBE requirement can either be met from the design process or the construction process. So the tendency is to push that through to construction because the availability of MWBE firms, there's greater availability in the construction realm than there is in the consultant realm. We're sensitive to that. The city's sensitive to that. Our conversations with prior corporate counsel, with Heather, with Tom, etc., is that what we don't want to do is push that and then not be able to achieve the objective, because the state holds those standards pretty high and has, in other instances, I'm not saying this is going to be applicable to the DRI, has asked for money back or asked to be made whole in some fashion. So if you, we don't necessarily need to meet it on each individual project, but we need to meet it as overall goal, but we don't want to leave it to the last project after construction. So we're sensitive to that. We've informed in the RFP process the consultants of that obligation. Okay. So, apologize, I'm a long-winded, but I want to make sure everybody's hearing, you know, the history here. Is so we learned this. We prioritize the projects, okay, and learned about the funding sources. Had a series of meetings with Department of State. Had a series of meetings with Empire State Development. The Empire State Development is the Mike Yevely, who was the regional director, and. You know, I know it's a public right, but I'm transparent as possible. We find ESD was a little more difficult to deal with than Department of State. They're a little bit more rigid and wanting to see something happen, and they were a bit more particular about the budget. And actually, that $500,000 that was awarded to Restore They looked at those numbers critically, and they found that there was really, it's really only $431,000 and $41,600 in eligible costs. And so they basically put us, the city, the team here, on notice, like, we're paying attention to detail. The cost to hire Chazen, okay, the services that we're providing, can be attributed or can be spread across as an administrative cost across most of the DOS projects. ESD said, we don't want to allow that, or we're going to be much more rigid in the cap that we're going to allow for that. That number is not yet finalized, but right now, what the city has engaged us to do is to a large extent going to be reimbursed by Department of State. So I want to put that out there. There is also, in most of the DOS projects on NEMP ESD, there are not required matches in most instances. However, when the applications were put together, there was a commitment by the city to provide construction demolition services for the Promenade Hill project. And so Rob's aware of this, and there's some demolition and site preparation, some utility requirements, and we need to document those in order to provide and show that match. Cross Street, there was some minor improvements. Dunn Warehouse and the Fishing Village, some more significant requirements. And the intent was in-kind services, committee time, citizen volunteer time, all those things are going to contribute towards that match. And so I don't have a clean number to say, here's what the city's on the hook for from a dollar standpoint. I do have a spreadsheet with some numbers in that. I didn't want to share that today because they are subject to change, but I'll provide that to the city's had it. We'll put that in front of you again. And what we learn is that it changes as we move forward through the process. So, so that was prioritization, funding sources, the status of the DOS contract. So the DOS master agreement is like this 60-page document that was executed by Mayor Rector late fall of last year. It went into the DOS, and that was not late in the year because of the cities. It was because the state took its time to get it to the city. They have these master agreements, and the intent was, hey, we're going to lump in every agency's contractual obligations in there, and the idea that it was going to simplify things, it really created, there's a lot of information there, a lot of redundancy, a lot of extraneous information. So we went through it, corporate counsel went through it, the mayor went through it, the committee looked at it. And ultimately, the city council authorized signature. That signature that was made, that was issued and sent to Department of State. Department of State, probably 6 weeks later, bounced back and said, hey, we need, you know, a couple more items in the contract. That was provided and sent back to them. Michael and I have talked. I made inquiry to Jeannie on Monday. And they still do not have it finalized. It's still, Michael, I don't know how closely you read that email, but the process is it goes to Department of State, the project manager reviews it, internally Department of State has its own funding or financing, and then it actually goes to the state comptroller. I think it's still in the Department of State's hands, and it's not yet been to the comptroller. They understand the urgency. They realize it's the state is interested in making this project happen. But regardless, it's not been complete. I tell you this.
That's kind of the urgent piece of this. That's like the urgent piece of the project right now.
Yeah. That is a critical thing. I'll jump ahead. So I mentioned the project prioritization and individual project status. So. We have developed and issued a request for proposals for the Promenade Hill project. The the
bridge connectivity.
And the bridge connectivity project. The RFP, we had responses to Promenade Hill. The committee did consultant interviews. The committee made a recommendation for Star White House. That was actually, I think, Tom, was this the December?
Yeah, it was passed.
Right, it just passed the end, probably the last meeting in December, to engage Star White House. So we have a draft contract with Star White House. The city, Chazen, has not put it in front of you, Mayor, for signature, because the concern is we don't necessarily want to obligate city funds until you have the DOS contract in front of you. We have seen, and this is a financial consideration, a city consideration, is that you establish force accounts, or you establish a capital project, you go through those internal financing or project management functions that you need to do in order to establish the accounting systems, but you don't have cash. You don't have a revenue stream yet. You have an obligation, but not a revenue stream. And so, it's going to come, but it's the time that it takes. So that's an issue.
What do you recommend that we can do to push this along?
Well, I think a call is in order. I mean, Mayor Rector was on them pretty good, and they said, "Hey, before the end of the year, here we are." You know, beyond that, I don't know what else. We're kind of.
The only thing is to fund it internally and wait, just keep proceeding.
Well, we're going to have to do that to some extent anyway, because everything's reimbursable. The issue at hand is we really shouldn't be engaging in anything without having the money guaranteed, which means we need the contracts.
I
mean, Chazen has been extraordinarily generous in working for the past 12 months with basically no payment. And in theory, they are at risk if for some reason this falls apart, and they were aware of that and was willing to do that. I don't think any of us thought it was going to be nearly this long. I think we all thought it was going to be maybe 3 months.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I know Rick was on the phone pretty constantly, especially in the last quarter, trying to get it pushed through. So I think having a new administration, getting Rick back on their backs would be key.
Okay.
And then after DOS, it goes to the comptroller.
Yes, and I don't know how long, DOS has said, hey, the DRI products are a priority. We have found DOS is not a particularly efficient entity when it comes to processing contracts and paperwork. It takes time. I don't know what the comptroller process, how much time they take, but it's a standard agreement, right? It's a commitment they made, the governor's, so I don't know what they're looking at, so if it's a rubber stamp or not, Mayor. But then it would come back to you. You'll see a signed agreement.
Yeah. Cheryl, do you have any suggestions on would it be appropriate to reach out to some of the higher elected officials?
Yeah, I think I might talk with you about it, but first of all, as suggested, absolutely make a phone call, and I'm happy to call Jamie as well. We have a meeting, I think, with Jamie coming up on other issues, so we can visit him directly, but yeah, I have some ideas, and let's talk about that.
Great. So that's Promenade Hill. So Bridge District, we went through a similar process. So what we did is we staggered these. Like, hey, we'll put an RFP on the street for Promenade Hill. We thought would be engaged and underway by now, but it has been stalled because of DOS contract. So Bridge District, similar issue. Bridge District was a little bit unique in that we did it and we broke the project into two major components because we don't know what the improvements are, so it's difficult for a consultant to say, here's what's going to cost you to design this thing that we don't know what it is. And so we broke it into two big pieces. The first is, hey, we want you to re-engage with the public and establish some level of public engagement, and then come out and conceptually design something that you could then provide us a scope of services for design development, construction documents, and so forth. And so the committee, again, unanimously, I think this was a pretty easy selection. I wasn't at the interview process for the for Star Warehouse, but Arterial, which is a firm out of Metro New York area, had a team with Street Plan and Creighton Manning Engineering. And Creighton Manning is a pretty well-known entity in the Capital District and in highway design. And they rose to the top. We haven't advanced our communications with them behind, hey, you guys won. We haven't got a contract from them because we're a little bit of installment. So that's ready to get queued up. Fishing Village. Fishing Village, for each of these, we conducted site visits, the committee did. We also did pre-bid site tours with prospective consultants. Fishing Village we did a site visit with the committee, then we did a subsequent visit with some of the folks that were on the committee for the Fishing Village. It's a little bit more nebulous what the project is going to be. I think one of the primary concerns is site safety, securing the site, because there's not any gates and there are structures that aren't necessarily safe. And so that was a concern. The idea is that several of the structures would be retained and allowed for some level of interpretation for the history of what's occurred on the site. What that means, we don't know yet, because of it's highly variable nature of, well, what do you do with a, you know, do you restore a structure? Do you leave them in their state that they are in? Do you do nothing and isolate them so that people aren't entering them? So we haven't advanced that because of the two other things in our hands. And so that's the status of, you know, in a simple sense, the Fishing Village.
The other thing I would add about the Fishing Village is the other discussion is, well, how far is that money actually going to go? Because it's not a whole lot. So, you know, people are envisioning, you know, an expanded park with an information kiosk. And some, there's not nearly enough money there for that. Doesn't mean it couldn't be discovered or found or earned or gotten a grant some way, but...
Yeah, and that's a good point again, Heather. And I think it is that, and it's a unique skill set that's going to come to help the city understand what is that potential. You know, it's not like, oh, it's an engineer who's going to design an improvement. It's going to be somebody who understands history, historic preservation, cultural resources, but also understands like urban park design or park design. And so we've put that one in kind of holding pattern for the moment. The last, not least, was Dunn Warehouse. We mentioned there's two different funding sources, Restore money and DRI money. We have not advanced the DRI project because the idea is that, hey, we need to first stabilize that structure. The city, because you know, the city engaged Chazen to update the structural evaluation, we performed that. I think, Mayor, you were here at the last meeting. Is Chazen, you know, Mike Barron was here, the engineer, and reported on, here's the evaluation we did. It was both it's challenging in that gaining access to the roof into a structure that's not a safe structure. So we did that evaluation. Also did some limited sampling for the potential presence of asbestos-containing materials, reported on that at the last two December meetings, and came up with a plan for short-term and long-term improvements on that. And so what we'll do is we'll make sure the group has access to those two reports that were provided under that. Excuse me. So that's kind of the status of the four projects.
So what's the next step on the restore for the Dunn? What's the next step for the Dunn Warehouse?
For Dunn is, I think, is performance of the short-term improvements.
Yeah.
So there's a roof, a temporary roof repair that should be a relatively simple from a construction standpoint. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Rob, if you want to speak to that.
Well, that's, we put it into a bid. It's on the street. We had a list of 20 or so contractors. So we went through that, spoke with left a bunch of messages, spoke with five directly who were interested in seeing the packet. Other than that, there's a formal RFP out. Legal notice is in the paper, so they can get a copy of it. It's just taking the documents from Chazen and incorporating it into. And we'll open them on the 27th and we'll see what we get. But.
Is there a time on the 27th?
10, I think, in the morning. But I just. I'm trying to get my hand around this whole the money thing. Because is there money that's identified and appropriated for. Because I read the resolution from the July one. And it just talks about like a local share for grant and for studies and stuff like that. But is there actually money to pay a contractor to do the work in place?
Do you remember, Tom? I feel like I did a resolution for a loan to the DRI
yes.
fund, right?
Yeah.
Maybe November, October,
yeah.
November, later in the year. Yes. Yeah, I will 100% check when I go back and email everybody, but I'm 99.5%
yeah,
that we have some money set aside.
Because, I mean, if it's something that it's going to happen, I mean, we have to have the money in place. You can't hold money for a year on a contractor.
Yeah. No.
Is this money from the Restore grant, or is
yes.
this money from... So that do we already have that money for the Restore?
We don't have it. It's also going to be reimbursable, but that
grant
was
approved. And we have a contract.
I assume so. That would
like years ago.
It would be in your realm somewhere.
Track that down.
Yeah.
And please let me know if it's not.
I'll give you what we have. It's not fresh in my head what elements we have in the record, but over the year we've collected as much as we've.
Right.
You can just discover it and make sure you have that.
Yeah, and this goes back 4 or 5
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I know that there was a non-capital, there was a 1620 account for done, but that's all been expended.
Right.
I think that was encumbered a couple of times. But
right. No, I meant the grant in terms of when the grant was actually accepted and approved. I mean,
yeah, that was
years.
Before DRI, so.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't go through any of this other extra step.
So the next step there is, and then we have, we're working on a package for the long-term restoration activity. So that would follow up, and that could be, and I'm not sure, Rob, I apologize.
There's no long-term move.
You don't have that in your hands. Okay. So we need to provide a package for that purpose. Okay. So. And then that would follow this short term.
But haven't we had the discussions that it's sort of a catch 22 because we need to determine what the end product that is the Dunbar
yeah.
like after this round?
I think there are certain things. Let's use the roof as a simple example. Like a new roof should go on the entire structure. There are, and I'm not an engineer, so there are elements of the roof system that need to be replaced and or supplemented with structural elements to improve its structural integrity. The door, there's two large doors, and this was a conversation we had that are... big openings that affect the structural integrity. One of the remedies to improve the structural integrity of these walls, these gable end walls, is to do you maintain this large door, or do you fill it in and frame a door and reduce the opening size, and so that can improve the structural integrity. Those kind of things, how you might remedy, might vary with the end user. If it was, and I'm making this up, if the end use is, oh, it's just going to be this, we're just going to clean it up and put concrete floors throughout the thing and allow it to be used as a flexible space that might be a wedding venue or it might be a multi-purpose facility, etc., you might want to keep the doors. If somebody goes in there and they say, hey, we want to and I, again, I'm making it up, we want to do a commercial kitchen and a food court. You know, you see these kind of like multiple food users in a common area. The improvements might take on a different form. And so there's some question is, do you reserve the long-term stabilization money and package that with this other money that's set aside for Dunn and go through like a letter of interest process. So, hey, we have this, we put a package together that says, here's what we have, here's the dollars that we have for restoration. We think it has a wide variety of potential and uses. You put that, you know, a RFQ or a request for letters of interest out to the development community and have them come in and then propose to you how to repurpose that. And then best use those dollars, you know, to produce a plant product. So that's kind of what we talked about in a very high-level conceptual way. I don't know, Tom or Rob or Heather.
And then the only other thing I would add is, historically, is that ESD seems to have made it pretty clear that they expected to
have a partner.
A partner.
Yep.
Yeah.
And private partnership.
Yeah. ESD wants private partnership. They want to see jobs. They want to see this Empire State Development, economic development. You know, economic. They want to see something. This is not money for a
fishing village,
right? It's not for residential, and it's not for, you know, exactly.
And is there a timeline where they expect the money to have been, the project to be completed? I know what, during the initial DRI process, when we were still pitching it, they were acting as if they wanted things done really fast. And clearly, the fact that we haven't gotten the contract yet, we're not going to hit those deadlines. But is that still, I think they were saying like 6 months or a year, weren't they, at one point?
I haven't heard a date firm on that, but you're right. In general, that's what they speak to, because, it's been some time, what we see across the state, though, is we've seen round one communities not yet executing projects. We've seen round two and round three communities actually executing projects. So it varies, and so they're feeling the heat, I think, that it's not happening, mm-hmm. and some of that falls on Empire. This is Empire State Development.
Ones that are heavy leverage of a lot of private investment.
Yeah.
Have been accelerated. The ones where the state's kicking in the whole knot, those are the ones that are in the hopper.
Mm-hmm. I guess I think about it because the more nuanced and more specific the vision is, presumably the longer it would take to develop it. So if we had a very short timeline, I might be inclined to think of a more minimalist vision for how we're spending the money. It's like less attached to a specific vision, because we don't have to have time to like go through a really long process of like figuring out what it is. But if there's, in some ways, if we're not,
well,
there's less of a timeline.
Pretty adamant that they want a vision.
Yeah.
They want to know what it's, because as far as they're concerned, they're already, without bringing in stuff not related to this body, but they were pretty upset about CAS. So,
mm-hmm.
And they weren't bashful about saying that.
Right.
So they don't want to see another grant going to a facility without getting, that's supposed to have some kind of private partnership, without the partnership.
Yeah. They did say, we don't want to pay for any more studies, we've got to be careful on how we pitch whatever it is that we're going to use these funds for. I mean, we need to identify some framework for what is that end use in order to put it out on the street, because you can't be all over the place, because we need to hit a target audience, a target end user. It's a pretty good climate right now. I mean, because there are resources out there in the private domain, and Hudson is in the public eye, and there's interest, and so we're in a pretty good spot to put something out there to get some attention.
So, given that we're waiting for the contract, this seems like something we could be moving forward. So, what kind of next steps should we have to think about this, or is it just that we set a meeting to figure out those next steps?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a really good point is that as we put this paper trail in front of you for that next meeting on Dunn Warehouse and talk about, because there was debate amongst this group about should it be public or should it be private? Does the city retain ownership? Does the city, lease, sell, etc.? So we don't need to resolve all those things, but we need to understand, well, what's the position, of the city? Because the last thing we know is we put it out there and then engage somebody and retract some key element.
Yeah.
So what we can do is we can get organized around that and engage, put information in front of you so they understand ESD's position, what was the concept, what are the things that are in play, what are the options from a solicitation standpoint, and have a conversation around that. That would be a good next step.
Okay.
It's really the one we can move on.
Yeah.
Because if that's the stance that the city and this committee are taking, that we will not execute contracts with any of the firms that we've selected until we have contracts in hand, and there's no reason for us to meet about anything related to those projects because we've already made our decisions, we've already told them. So absent that, the only thing that we have the ability to address is this looming partnership thing, which ultimately won't be decided by us collectively here. It'll be decided by, this is the city's building, it's not the DRI committee's building.
Right.
So
right.
It's going to be a council.
Well, and there's also going to be the question of community input. If we need to get it, how do we get it?
Community input's cheap. You can get that pretty. You don't need to have a contract for that.
No, right? I know. That's what I'm saying. But
well,
we have to sort of determine, we know what the end goal is. The end goal is a vision of the use of a building that's clear enough that it will attract a subset of private investors that makes sense for them. The question is, how do we get to that vision? And all I'm saying is there are a number of different inputs that we should probably be considering, ranging from brainstorming sessions to some matter of community input to, that's it.
Yeah,
because I think it's silly to do the final rehabilitation without knowing what the use is going to be. I mean, you could go through and just patch everything together as it is, but it'd be nice to know what the end is, because it might be a less expensive way
to
make a change, the final or the next use or whatever.
Right. The other option would be potentially you've got your super short term. For the winter, and maybe as we're investigating, I think that the issue about the big open door is an excellent one for some things. If you're in retail or something like that, you might want that, or for a wedding venue, but for other things you might not. But maybe between just making sure the roof doesn't collapse and completely outfitting the entire building, maybe there's a step two, which is the walls are weak. Maybe we need to put that cross rod in that ties them together. Not worry about the door right now, but make sure that at least, basically level two stabilization. It's just another option.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll put the report that was done in everybody's hands. I'll check on whether we had a bid package for you for that stage two improvements. I'll put together the materials that we collected on the Dunn warehouse, what was included in the strategic investment plan, the correspondence related to ESD, so we have that so you can have an intelligent conversation around the next step with Dunn.
And is that sounds great. And then for the other three projects, it's true that there's really nothing we can do until the contract, you don't need to push
I think it's fair, so absent the city authorizing us to take on that risk, while it's low, that risk, okay? I know both consultants everybody's busy in the consultant world, just as a general rule of thumb, but they've had both of these on the radar. I think Promenade Hill, they needed survey, and we don't have snow cover, they could do survey. Now, as an example, we wait 6 weeks, we have 3 feet of snow cover, may not be able to do anything until April. So that's something,
to weigh.
Easy with that talk.
What's that?
Easy with that talk.
Yeah, no, I'm
not. 3 feet of snow is just something to you. It's different to me.
So that's an issue. And then the Bridge District, I know, so the consultant and that, with that group, they all want to get this, they want to understand schedule, because you can't just say, oh, we're ready to go, it's something going to happen 2 weeks later.
Right.
They want to know, like, hey, let's schedule this for, and I put dates on here, I said, hey, do you have kickoff Promenade Hill in February, assuming we have a contract end of the January. There's a public outreach component to that. As there's the Bridge District, there's a just so you hear it, there's a street takeover, like they call it, or urban
tactical urbanism.
Tactical urbanism. And what they propose to do is as part of a public engagement process, they would temporarily install improvements, you know, whether it's painted, hay bales, etc. So you can see how this transformed the court. It's a really cool way to get a real hands-on feeling. Ideally, they'd like to do that in the spring. They wouldn't do it any earlier than April, but they need to prepare for that in advance. So that's the schedule out there.
Okay.
Yeah. We might have to screw it anyway. I mean, when did we gave Star White House notice to proceed when? In the summertime?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my goal was that, my understanding was that they would have started public input months ago, and we would be doing demolition in the winter. But I'm,
we have three guys.
We're doing others, you know, outside of snow, there's not a whole lot going on. You know, the way this stuff's getting pushed back, now they're gonna look like, it looks like demolition in June, you know, when we've got Flag Day and Pride and all the ones have to get mowed, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of responsibilities that we have. That's why, I mean, I understand that these things are, you know, looking kind of moving, but you know, can't go in, but we can't go in and start breaking stuff apart until we know what's going to stay, what's not. You know, what are we?
Yeah.
Mm. Because we can, but
right.
So
we'll make it a priority.
I mean, I would just say that's the part of it. Just focus on Don and that whole elephant of who, what, where, when. And, well, we're. Cause I don't. If we're, they've been driving this long, I don't.
That's the other theory. So they're just like funding, you know, one DRI thing
you
at a time,
get a
and then
you get a prize, and oh wait,
you don't get a prize until this prize gets back.
That's, you know, I think I covered the agenda I had. I know, like we talked about shifting dates and frequency of meetings, and you kind of brought that up in respect to Dunn.
Yeah, so we were thinking we would meet on the second and fourth, we would schedule the second and fourth Wednesdays, but not next week. So we'd starting on the fourth Wednesday of this month.
Which is
the 22nd?
Is it 22nd? I have a commitment 22nd.
Okay.
Unfortunately, but it's just, if we get him 6 weeks out, then I can book the time and clear that. So
okay.
I wouldn't be able to be here for the 22nd to start the done conversation. So if you tell me,
do we want to schedule? Do we want to try to figure out now if there's another time before? Because otherwise, we're waiting more than a month for the done conversation. If we want to wait that long.
Can we stick to the Tuesday of that week?
Or if there's five, if you go to the 29th, I know that's an odd, it's a fifth Wednesday. Usually if the fifth, usually there's no standing meetings on the fifth, right? Because it's an extra week.
Those are the magic weeks.
I could.
Does that work?
Yeah, I can do the 29th.
I said, I thought it was the 29th anyway, because that's what the opening of the 27th.
I said that works out great, then.
Okay, 29th at 2:30.
And what I'll do in advance of that is put this package together for you guys, as well as the annual report, so you have both of those items. At least a week in advance, so you have time to do what we. And I know, Michael, Mayor, if there's something that comes up between now and then, or as you start to, you know, like, hey, I'm digging into this stuff, you have a communication with DOS, you want us to be part of that, you know, feel free, you know, phone is easier, right now or next couple weeks, or anything else we can schedule.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else? Should we ask the public if they want to say anything? Anything from the public?
I just need to ask Rob a question for clarification. You will be opening the proposals for the short-term repairs that were done on the 27th?
Yes.
Did you say a time?
10 a.m.
10 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
Thank you.
Welcome.
We should get that probably on the calendar if it's not, right? Because aren't the openings technically public?
I mean, we open it in the room, and we, you know, and we don't do anything really right there. We still got to make sure that they, because you get them, you take a look at them. They're supposed to provide references, so you still got to call some, you know, because you're not going to necessarily have somebody take out bonding for what's been suggested to be a $10,000 project. But we want to make sure they can, you know, tie their shoes and chew gum.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe not, but it's gonna die.
Yeah.
No good, huh?
Yep.
I think